Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Well, good morning. It is such a pleasure to be back. I've really missed the church over the past month, and I really do thank everyone who sent cards, sent prayers, and just words of kindness my way while I was out. They were really very much appreciated. I'm also pleased to say that I had announced a few months ago that I had a young nephew, and I was able to go visit about a week ago, and it was a wonderful time getting to meet the extended family, getting to meet my nephew for the first time. And it's an interesting fact, but up until about 2 weeks ago, I have never held a baby. They kind of scare me, to be honest. They're small. They wiggle around, and I don't really know what to do with them. So I had really put it off until now. And I was anxiously waiting that a moment where I would hold baby Alex for the first time. And finally, when the moment came, I looked at baby Alex, and I was proud to see him, and such a beautiful baby. About a minute later, I started to wonder, now what? If you've ever been with babies, they don't really do much. So right away I handed them off, and I started talking to the family. And talking with family, as you all know, can be interesting at times. We all like to try to get along, but certain topics, certain things can bring up some tension within families. And as we began to talk, I fell into the trap of talking about religion. And we know how that goes in families when we try to talk about politics or religion, right? Things get tense real quick. But we had a discussion around a table. And it was a good discussion. We all got points out, and we all remained civil. But a point that came out once and once again from over and over that I've heard throughout similar discussions is people saying that when they walk into the Christian church, when they see Christians together, they don't see very much Christ-likeness going on. They don't see Jesus in the church or Christians acting much like Jesus. And that was a tough one. Because in some sense, yeah, we do see that sometimes. That does come up. And that comes on to where we end up having tensions, and we don't always end up getting along. There are problems even in the church. We have our families, and we can hardly get along with our own families sometimes. How much more so in our church families, where we come together and we are called to a very high call. And yet it's very difficult to be obedient to some of the things that we have been called to as a church family. In the Bible, it reminds us that we're called to serve together, to worship Jesus. think the hard part is sometimes, somebody reminded me of this earlier this week, we get to choose our friends, but we don't get to choose our family. And in the same way, we don't always get to choose everyone who's in our church family. But we are still called to love and serve together as a family. It's hard to get along with family all the time. And we always do manage to find ways of being hurt through misunderstandings, through resentment, difficulties, and differences that we just may hold. And sometimes it seems insurmountable to live out those calls that the Bible urges us to live by. It's hard to embody Scripture at some times. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, what we read through earlier, Paul's encouraging the Philippians to be like-minded, to have the same love, and to be in one spirit and one purpose. Now the church, our family, this group that we are to be unified in, that we are to pour out our love into the community around us, it's supposed to be a good thing. But in my own experience, when trying to live that out throughout the week or in our everyday lives, a lot of problems come up when we try to live that way. Great questions can arise. I mean, what does it look like to be of the same mind and being one in purpose? How do we deal with those, even within our congregation, who have a completely different way of thinking than we do? How can we be like-minded with a Christian that we may find it difficult to be around? Are we seeking to be like-minded with those around us, or are we avoiding those who we may not get along with all the time? If we avoid those problems, or if we avoid certain people, are we really living out the call that God has called us to? So how do we become like-minded and of one spirit, of one purpose, when people just struggle to get along? And for that matter, what is the right way that we're supposed to follow? Who are we supposed to be following? Are we to follow the pastors? Or the people in the church with the most theological training? Do we conform to be like-minded with the people who speak out the loudest in church? Or do we change to be like those who may look really good in church? Or do we follow the majority of the people in the church? Or maybe we continue to seek out different church communities until we find one that fits us? These are good questions to ask, because the reality is that every single person in this room, even though I know we all follow Christ, we also have our own opinions, our own experiences, our own ways of seeing things. And in the end, in the moment, we all have our individual ways of how we try to follow Christ. Being like-minded, being of one mind, seems inconceivable at some times. After all, does that mean that every church, all Christians should look exactly the same? That we should come from a mold of some sort? I gotta say, if so, we're not doing so well there. All we have to do is look outside and we see hundreds of denominations all around us and numerous disagreements on theology and how we are supposed to live out Christian life. So when I hear a point from somebody at the table who's not a believer saying that we all seem to not be getting along or being able to live Christ-like lives, it's hard not to agree. This is in part, and excuse me, this is in part because there's a great confusion on what it means to be like-minded. Does being like-minded really mean that we all have to believe the exact same things or agree with everything that is written in church doctrine? That our church doctrine and our theology needs to be succinct and perfect? That if we just believe in the right rules, then we're okay? The problem in that is that we are not simply called just to believe the right things, but we are called to live our lives in a way that glorifies Christ. In James 1:22, James reminds us that we do not merely listen to the word and deceive ourselves, but we are to do what it says. In other words, one can believe or read and agree with every word in the Bible, but if their heart, if their life is not changed, then it's all for nothing. It's a deceit for yourself. So, in other words, Paul, he's referring to being like-minded in a different sense. We're to be like-minded in our actions and how we live. The love that pours out from us will be the witness of our like-mindedness in Christ. We are to be like-minded, in other words, when we follow Christ in our actions. It's not just our beliefs, but it's the outpouring of our love and action that makes us like-minded, and that's how people will see that we're different, that we're following the same Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul says that in life, we are to do everything for the glory of the Lord. Let me read that again. 1 Corinthians 10:31. In life, we are to do everything for the glory of the Lord. In context, Paul's really talking about everything, whether we eat, we drink, no matter what we are doing, we're going to the store, we do so for the glory of the Lord. So for us today, whether we're playing in a football game, driving down to Hannaford's, or working alongside our coworkers, or even just sitting at home with our family, in everything that we do, Paul is encouraging us that we do it for the glory of God. And when we do that, when we take that heart into us, when we try to live in this way, that is the church being like-minded. We are like-minded in our surrender to Christ. It has less to do with having the right church doctrine or the right denomination, but rather having the same love and the same spirit of obedience to Jesus Christ and to the people around us. People will see our love when it flows out of us. Over and over again in the New Testament, Paul says that the hallmark of our lives should be giving rather than getting, service rather than being served, obedience rather than dominance. And most often, this is a matter of acting in loving ways, hour by hour, towards our parents, our spouses, children, coworkers, friends, and our fellow church members. There are hundreds of ways in which we touch the lives of each other each week. And in each of those ways, Paul says that we are to have the attitude of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us like-minded. This is the witness to those around us that we are of one spirit, of one purpose. So what would that look like? What would a worshiping community that was following these tenets, what would it look like? Well, there's a theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a very prominent theologian, and he gives a lot of thoughts on what this might look like, and I have a few of them listed for you. But imagine a church, and I'm going to read through them. Imagine a church of like-minded Christians that held their tongues, refusing to speak uncharitably about a Christian brother. They cultivated the humility that comes from understanding that they, like Paul, are the greatest of sinners and can only live in God's sight by His grace. Imagine a community that listened long and patiently so that they will understand their fellow Christians' need. a community that refused to consider their time and their calling so valuable that they cannot be interrupted to help with unexpected needs, no matter how small or menial. A community that would bear the burden of their brothers and sisters in the Lord, both by preserving their freedom and by forgiving their sinful abuse of that freedom. A community that declares God's word to their fellow believers when they need to hear it, and one that understands that Christian authority is characterized by service and does not call attention to the person who performs this service. Even though we may not agree on every little detail on what happens in church, we probably can't agree on what colors to paint the walls or what colors to have a certain rug, but when we live in a way that would model these things, to live and pursue a church that has true love behind it and is following Jesus in everything that it does, we'd be one in mind and one in spirit. And these are the marks of a church that's looking for Jesus Christ to be the center of its life. We're united in one spirit, and we seek to be Christ-like in all that we do. It's important that we remember that we look at Christ for our guidance, not at each other. We don't look at each other to see who's doing better. We don't look at the person who is dressed the best in church or the person who looks the most holy in church. We don't look at those on television who may look very strong in Jesus, and we don't try to follow them. We try to follow Jesus Christ, and our gaze should always be fixed on our Lord Jesus. That's Paul's point in Philippians. When we come together, we live as Jesus did, in love. And yet still, it's a lofty call to live like Jesus. Where would one even begin to start in trying to live as Jesus lives? I think many of us have tried. I think we're trying all the time, aren't we? It's a difficult thing to tackle, trying to be perfect. How can we do this when deep inside we're sinful, selfish people? There's a book, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, and he has a really helpful description on how an imperfect believer can be more like Jesus in their everyday life. It helps, says Lewis, to pretend to be like Jesus, just like a child might pretend to be a soldier or a shopkeeper. And just as the child's imaginary games help the child to develop skills that will be later useful when they are a real soldier or a real shopkeeper, the game of pretending to be Christ will eventually reveal the believer places of impoverishment or places where they need to improve, and will guide the believer towards spiritual maturity. Lewis argues that the minute we realize that we are dressing up like Christ, we will begin to discover in which our pretense could become a reality. We end up becoming embarrassed to discover that we have thoughts that are un-Christ-like, and we have unfulfilled duties that Jesus would not have neglected. Those realizations, he says, should turn and prompt us into more complete obedience. It's much like incorporating that slogan from the 2000s with the bracelets, the WWJD, asking constantly, what would Jesus do in your everyday life? As I said earlier, it was great to see family. And family brings out great joy and great challenges. And while we can't pick our church family and we can't pick our family at home, we may not see eye to eye on everything every decision that we make. We can take joy in the like-mindedness we have in Christ. When you look around, in this room and you see somebody following and obeying Jesus, and you can see a glimpse in that person of Jesus working in their lives, you can appreciate that. You can take joy in that and be reminded of Christ's goodness. So today, as we go out, remember that our goal is to be Christ-like and to be a servant to all those around us. If we adopt that humble attitude and we agree to be like Christ, be like-minded in Christ, I get so excited by the community that could be, of how Christ-like we could become, and that we might turn the heads of somebody who thinks that Christians are not following Jesus, but instead they might wonder, well, who is this guy, and why is he acting in that way? I pray that each and every one of you continue to wrestle with your faith this week. Pray with me. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son Jesus and the example that has been set for us. And I just pray that as we as a church continue to be like your son, God, that we're able to encourage each other, Lord, through love, through our actions, through our humility, through service. Help us to be more and more like your son, God, and help us to witness to the world around us. Give us strength, give us power, God. We thank you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.